Hi everyone, my name is Victor.
Hi, and I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Katya, and together we are the Grin Marketing Team. Between the three of us, we have expertise across all of digital marketing, which includes, but isn't limited to, SEO, social media, influencer marketing, paid media, content and email marketing, just to name a few areas. And with the digital landscape changing every day, our goal is always to stay on top of the trends. And we love talking marketing. Just ask us, we'll tell you.
Welcome to Fact Check, where we're talking all things influencer marketing. Today, we wanted to give an introduction to what is influencer marketing.
I think that when we talk about what an influencer is and what is influencer marketing, an influencer is someone who has influence over a community of followers. Influencer marketing is the management of those influencers in an overall marketing campaign. It is one of probably the newest ways to be able to market in general. It's using the influence that people have in social media nowadays in order to really get them engaged with the brand. And I think that that's really honestly where the superpower of influencer marketing is you have to find those people that are going to naturally talk about your brand and tell the brand story that you want to be told, not just post a picture. Yeah. That's the way that I define it. And that's the way that I definitely push it for other brands. And I've seen it be incredibly successful for people, whether it comes to increasing revenue, getting more content. Influencer marketing is just something that you can add to your overall marketing strategy. Do you think differently, Jen, or would you say it's along the same lines?
My experience with influencer marketing and kind of how I view it is it's almost an umbrella term. And it really embodies just finding individuals that are either key opinion leaders or hold some kind of clout in their industry and leveraging those relationships. So it's any marketing relationship that you can leverage to build brand love, to champion your brand. With my experience, I actually worked more with affiliate marketing and a little bit more on a higher level where we would go and find relationships with key opinion leaders. And we would partner with them and build these relationships and have them champion our brand. And so that's kind of the experience I've had. And I definitely think that influencer marketing can be looked at as an umbrella term and that there are quite a few things that fall underneath it, whether it's ambassadors, key opinion leaders, as I was saying.
You know, we're very focused on what is an influencer, what's influencer marketing. But I think that even through the other fireside chats that we've had and just in conversations in general that we have with anybody that's kind of using Grin and in this space is what different brands call, you know, quote unquote, an influencer, right? Like you just mentioned an affiliate program, there's brand ambassadors, there's creators, and there's influencers, there's key opinion leaders. And it basically is. And I think that that's why I think of it as like really anybody who has some sort of influence, right? Because when it comes to marketing, the key is really you just want them to take action. So it's influence that can take action in the mask of an influencer, ambassador, creator, whatever you want to call the person.
I think we focus so much on follower count. And to a certain degree, I really wish we could move away from that because, you know, we segment out micro and macro influencers. You mentioning how people who champion your brand, and then simultaneously, Katya, you were saying that an influencer is basically someone who has influence over a community. So my question for many brands is, why does that have to look like a certain number? Why do you think that a person with 10,000, 100,000, a million followers has influence, but someone with 500 followers can't have the same level of influence? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I definitely think there's a balance. And even just with the last webinar that we did and we chatted with Organifi, and they had originally targeted influencers with greater following and realized that wasn't conducive to what they wanted to do with their community and building a community and building that brand love. So they rethought it and they started to vet their influencers and they didn't base it off of following. And actually LoomCube brought this up as well in another webinar, is they didn't base it on following, they based it on engagement and for lack of a better word, influence. Were they engaged with their audience? Does their audience trust them? And I think there's definitely a balance, is that the micro influencer and the nano influencer, you don't necessarily want to find somebody that's got such a little following that they're not going to have enough of a touch to make an impact. So you've got to find that balance of enough of a following, enough trust, and enough people paying attention to what they're doing and saying, but also that they're not just collecting followers, that it is a group of followers that really do believe in what they're saying and what they're promoting and kind of what their vision is and how that aligns with the brand that is using them.
I think for me, when I was working with influencers, I was always more concerned about what does the brand want from the influencer and what is the influencer already doing. Their main thing was just awareness, but the brand would see an influx of website traffic when they posted something. So it wasn't necessarily that they were getting a ton of conversions, but they were able to, you know, obviously retarget those people. And then eventually those turned into sales later on down the road, versus some influencers that had maybe the same type of following, maybe more or less, but they would see instant conversion. They would either pay directly from their Instagram, or they saw people going the same day or maybe within the same like time frame, and they would post and then start buying all these products. And so I think that is something to also note too. What are your influencers good at doing? And then kind of working within that scope, because I think it's all important. I think that a lot of times we focus on return, but what does return look like holistically? Katya, I feel like you want to say something.
Well, there's so many things to unpack between what both of you guys had said, because I have thoughts on like the follower count and engagement, and then also thoughts on like just conversions. I think that, you know, as marketers, we tend to get stuck on like all the jargon that we use. A conversion is, you know, driving revenue. It's someone signing up for an email. It's taking an action. Like, I know that when we're looking at like, okay, what is the intent, you know, on an email? I want them to do XYZ. If they do XYZ to me, that's a conversion, right? So I think that it's, you know, to your point, Victor, it is really getting people in line with, all right, what is your ultimate goal? Based on your goal, what does the conversion for that goal look like? And then how can you use influencers to help you achieve that goal and get that conversion? And when you look at the type of influencers that you want to engage with, I think that it does depend, which I think marketing is all of that. Well, it depends. I think it's not like, oh, I'm just going to use nanos. Oh, I'm just going to use celebrity. Oh, I'm just going to use micro. I think that you use a combination, right? It's wherever you have the most influence. I mean, like, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I have 300 followers on Instagram. So I'm kind of a big deal. And, but my 300 are like the closest people to me. So I have an incredibly high engagement rate, because I am not, you know, for the masses. I am for the smaller group. And when you think about engagement, it just in general for influencers, think about like engagement rate over followers, right? Like a typical, like a low engagement rate is anything 1%. So even if you were going after a celebrity that had a million, it's maybe 1% engagement of that, right? And then you've got an average of between 1 to 3%. That's average good. Like that's the engagement number that you're looking at. So I think that that's why people are trying to take into account like, okay, if I have someone that has a lot of followers, they must have this number of engagement. And I'm looking at that pool. But really, you can have, I have a 17% engagement rate. I don't actually know that it's 17%, but I'm assuming it's real high. Because again, I'm a big deal.
You're a big deal.
Yeah, because I'm a big deal. But like the 17% of the 300, I can't do fast math, but like those are guaranteed conversions for you, right? Because someone's going to value what my thought is because of my connection, because of my influence in my community of followers.
Right.
That's where I was kind of leaning towards. So like, I would say you kind of need a good spread. Maybe you have like a handful of nanos and those are your brand ambassadors. And then you live in the micro space, but you really want to build your brand awareness. So you engage with maybe one or two celebrity or macro influencers. It's the combination that's the win for influencer marketing, in my opinion.
Well, you know, and I wanted to touch on that a little bit too, I think it also really depends on your brand, your product or your service, and what it is that you're looking for. Like a really good example is Trifecta. Trifecta has killed it with like celebrity influencers because it's a fitness brand. Yep. And that is one of those where the trust is built from results. So it's like, maybe it's a little less about the engagement and more about seeing before and afters or just seeing people that are extremely fit because it is the fitness industry. So I think it does, like having a good spread is huge, but also really recognizing what is going to be effective for your product and your service. You know, and Organifi, kind of on the other end of that, Organifi is really built on community and engagement throughout, and their ambassadors are engaging with their communities and really building this love. Whereas like say a fitness brand, again, it's more like on the celebrity side because the trust is built through results. So I think having that spread and really understanding what your brand needs are is super important as well.
You know, that's very interesting. A few years ago, I was working with a PR firm and they said that the majority of celebrities are not used for conversions in terms of money. They're used for just reach and getting your name out there. And then they use other types of influencers for the actual monetary return. All
conversions. You know, a really good example of that would be like Oakley. And Oakley was one of the pioneers in influencer marketing. And they targeted celebrity influencers, but they weren't necessarily influencers at that time. I think it was pro snowboarders and pro BMXers and people that would regularly use Oakley. They weren't giving discount codes. They were just asking these really influential people that were huge in this sports space that people were following to wear their product and maybe call it out. And I think that's, you know, celebrity influencers, maybe it's a little less about the interaction and a little bit more about the brand awareness.
How many touch points does someone need in order to make that decision with, you know, the digital landscape being what it is nowadays? I want to say that number is even increased and even more so now in the, you know, in this pandemic world, we have more touches. So reach is incredibly important. And I would envision having an influencer strategy, an influencer marketing strategy that follows the marketing funnel. The lower you get down on that funnel, that's where your nanos and your brand ambassadors come into play, right? Exactly. Or maybe you use that combination to get the awareness, right? You use the review, that user-generated content from your brand ambassador, the person that loves you, right? Or the person that has unboxed something to do a product launch and feature someone to get them in the top of the funnel. And then you just kind of work your way through so that you're using influencer marketing in a very strategic way to move them down the marketing funnel.
Exactly. I agree with you. When I think about the people that I follow, I dislike using bigger names to get things out there. And it doesn't make sense for that celebrity or that personality. It doesn't even look like you've really thought about who your audience is. Because what I found, you as an influencer would be promoting a brand that doesn't align with you. And this brand doesn't seem as if they have like a strategy in place.
You know, celebrities definitely do have that cachet. I think with anything, and not just in marketing, there's this bubble, right? There are people who have identified themselves as an influencer. But really where I think that a lot of brands, I know that brands that we work with have been able to find success in influencer marketing are for the people that aren't necessarily identified as influencer. You know, that's why we open it up to not an in-network search for people. We want people that you can introduce your brand to, and then if they believe in it, then they can promote it. But with this heavy influx of self-identified influencers, it's really tough to sell brands on this is the way to do it. It's a slower burn, right? It's the organic, it's the SEO value of it. Because you know how we talk about how SEO is the slower game, right? And then you use paid to kind of help supplement and backload that. To really run an effective influencer program, you need to put in that work to find those people that are going to speak to your brand.
We know, and I think that even transcends into the celebrity side of things. I think the most effective celebrity influencers are maybe the ones that circle back to those pro sports players and snowboarders. Yeah, they're getting sponsorships and they look for alternative ways to supplement income because they're not going to be doing the sport forever. However, they're not necessarily out to be an influencer. They're out to play a sport. That's what they love doing. That's what they're a professional at. They're not a professional influencer. So to that point, I think it kind of does transcend is being able to identify it's okay to have a macro influencer, a celebrity influencer promoting your brand as long as there's that authenticity. And that's to your point, Katya, is that it's really about that authenticity between the brand and the influencer and finding somebody that really would exist in the space. It's not necessarily a self-identified influencer, but somebody that just loves what they do in that space And that space makes sense for your brand.
Absolutely. And I think that you've brought this up a couple times, but Loom Cube is definitely a really good example of that. They have a product that really speaks to people who are influencers, but also photographers in general who have to get a light. They have to have good lighting in order to create the art that they want. So they have all the lights to choose from. The fact that they choose Loom Cube speaks volumes. And that's someone really aligning with the brand message. And that's who they wanted to. They didn't want just any influencer who's going to really promote anything that they get for free. They want people to believe in the brand because you do speak more authentically about it. I think when push comes to shove, we're all influencers. I mean, think about like what you talk about in the car ride or over dinner, right? You talk about your experience in wherever you go or whatever products that you're using, whoever you're talking to, they listen. Like, oh, you did that? I've seen that. What do you think about it? I know that that's where I try a ton of stuff. And I do go into social media and it's a whole thought process. As you know, I've just started on TikTok. There are so many little how-tos and little gadgets that people pick up on, anywhere from recipes to, oh, have you done this with your Reynolds wrap? Or this is how you unload a 12-pack of soda so that nothing falls off. Like, there are just so many ways to influence people across social media that you don't necessarily have to be a self-identified influencer in order to make an impact to an audience.
100%. It's actually more important to find those influencers that are not self-identified, because you're going to produce more authentic media. You think about the user-generated content that you're going to get from somebody that's actually using your product or service. Yeah. And can speak to it from an expert angle. Again, Loom Cube, these guys are using this light and they're not just somebody that's out there playing with a light, and they're professional photographers and they can actually speak to the benefits of using that product. They know what makes a good light. How is it that brands can find these authentic influencers? What's a good journey? What's a good process and using Grin to do that?
I think honestly, the key is identifying what your objective is first, to be able to even dive into the what's next. What is your objective and who are you as a brand? And then you go searching. There are so many steps that have to happen before you even do your first search. And I think where Grin stands out in helping you identify is we have a recruitment suite that essentially has a combination of all the things that you could possibly want in order to find that right fit for you. So we have the basic influencer search, which aggregates everybody from Instagram, TikTok, YouTube that are self-identified, not self-identified influencers, so that you could potentially reach out to them and you can search for them based on demographics, which is really key. You can search for them based on audience. And then we have influential customers, which is really based on our e-commerce integration. And those are people you know already love your brand because they're already buying your brand. So it's a harder sell. We aggregate those people for you as well. And then we have the social listening aspect of it, where maybe they haven't purchased from you, but they have a similar interest or follow similar brands. And then we aggregate that for you by pulling in hashtags and handles. And that gives you the ability to kind of attack it from three different vantage points in the outreach. And in the inbound, we help you give a landing page URL to people so that you can provide them a place to sign up to be a brand ambassador, influencer, creator for your brand, rather than having to DM and doing every part of that manually. I think one of the most challenging parts about finding influencers is, where do I search? How do I search? And then how much time do you spend searching before you then implement a campaign? There are all of these just different beasts to tackle when it comes to influencer marketing. Finding them is just one aspect of it.
Well, one of the cool things I really like about the Grin platform that kind of differentiates it from any other platform is that it is not an opt-in and there's no separation between brand and influencer. So it's a primary focus to really keep the brand at the forefront. Yeah. And that way that brand can really genuinely build a relationship with their influencer. It's not being brokered and there's no intermediary brand that's working the two and trying to force a relationship. It's very authentic. So it's basically just the tools that you need to build the relationship without us having to be in between the brand and the influencer, yeah, which I think is a really cool angle. And I mean, again, it just builds that trust between who you're working with and that brand.
Definitely.
I think that's what I love most about Grin in general, not just the platform. I mean, of course, all those things, yes. But Grin in general really preaches authenticity. And I think that one of the things that resonates even during this pandemic is thinking about what does interaction with another person look like? You know, I think we are in a situation now where it's just basic communication, basic hellos, basic greetings are of importance now. And so it's about figuring out those meaningful moments. What does that look like? What does a meaningful moment look like? And I think that Grin approaching influencer marketing from having meaningful moments and authentic moments and finding connections and building an authentic relationship and managing that relationship is way ahead of the curve.
I was searching for a tool and it was probably the best cold call that I ever got, where I'm like, this is exactly what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that's going to streamline what I'm doing. And my experience with it wasn't even at finding them. I already had influencers. I had influencers that I had to manage and I didn't have a tool. And even with 20 influencers, it was too much to handle from a spreadsheet perspective.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, just handling
relationships on a spreadsheet is just not.
You just don't. You
that doesn't sound right.
Handle relationships on a spreadsheet. And that's, I mean, you can do one thing on a spreadsheet. You can keep track of what their discount code is, what their contact information is, if they've posted or not. But even then, the manual process without Grin is going into Instagram or whatever platform they have said that they have posted in and literally scrolling through the feed and then taking a screenshot of that picture that they did and then, like, you know, downloading it to your computer and then cropping it and then, like, putting it in that folder that you have in Google Drive or whatever shared drive that you have in order to be able to then repurpose that. And that's with one. And that's if you know when they post. I mean, I would get text messages of pictures at all times of the day, like in the weekends, in the morning, in the evening, late at night, because apparently.
And you're supposed to remember that you got that text message.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Now I have to download it.
And that's great.
Well, and those were the ones that I liked because I'm like, okay, great. I don't have to search, but I do have to get it off my phone. And then I have to remember when you sent it. And then I have to actually go back to make sure that you have tagged us, that you have put the appropriate hashtag, that I am now looking at Google Analytics to track whether or not you brought me some website traffic, because that was equally as important as them booking an appointment, because mine was a little different where you would have to walk in and book an appointment because it was beauty. So it wasn't something that they sold online. So there are definitely uses for it just all the way around.
And that's getting into the ROI, which is going to probably have to be another conversation.
Yeah.
That's definitely another conversation.
That's a rabbit hole. Exactly. That's
because we can talk about that all day.
Marketing rabbit hole right there.
I think that you touched on a lot of things, but it all wraps around what influencer marketing is and all of the different components to think about where they should be looking and what they should be thinking about in building their program and even revamping their program. I think that there's a lot of things to think about, especially today. I think this is a good moment to wrap up.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes,
yeah,
thank
you guys for joining us and listening. If you go to grin.co, you can check out our sit down with Organifi and also Katya.
0 to 100, getting started with influencer marketing, where we have broken down the getting started process with influencer marketing into 6 different chapters to help just kind of guide everybody on what you do beforehand, what you do as you get set up, how to execute a campaign, and how to really read the success of your program.
Tune in for more great podcast conversations and topics and fireside chats every Monday.